Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It's my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. And at Good News in the Morning, we want to wish you a happy new year. I'm so glad you've turned your dial to CFRA, and I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can hear past episodes and find some great articles. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the gospel and bargain hunting. You know, I love a good bargain. In fact, I love a bargain so much that I'm willing to brave the big box stores on Boxing Day. One year, I waited in line for 45 minutes to buy a computer. But I love a deal. Last year, I bought a 32-gig memory card for my camera, regularly $90, and I got it for $20. Bargain. I love a bargain. Now, I know that some of you are bargain shoppers extraordinaire. You haggle, you clip coupons, you troll Kijiji. And some of you blame it on your heritage, as if being Scottish gives you a genetic advantage in shopping. And some of you are just wise. You understand that a penny saved is better than a penny earned because you don't have to pay the 40% income tax on it. This morning, I want to tell you a story. Come in your imagination with me as I introduce you to Austin Monroe. Austin loves to hike. You know, places like Gatineau Park, well, they're just a little too tame for him and a little too commercial. The trails are too well marked. So he loves to hike in places where he dreams that no one has ever been before. You know, that's a pretty hard thing on our planet, but he dreams. So he travels to places like Northern Ontario and he hikes in Crown Land. And on this beautiful sunny day, he was out for this hike, and he scrambles up over the granite cliff and down the other side. And as he moves, he dislodges a good-sized stone that rolls down the hill, and that dislodges another stone. And as Austin looks into the mini landslide, he sees a glint of something. So he goes down to investigate. There he sees a rock unlike any other rock he's ever seen. He scrapes the dust from around the rock, and to his amazement, he discovers that it is a huge golden nugget. Now, the largest golden nugget ever discovered is 176 pounds. This one wasn't that big, but he picked it up. And he could barely lift it. He figured it has to be 100 pounds anyways. So he thought, what should I do? Well, he covered the gold nugget up and went on his way and checked what it would cost to buy the land. It was going to cost him, he found out, $100,000. You know, Austin had bought a house a couple of years back, but there really wasn't much equity to borrow against. So he sold the house, and he figured if he sold it, he could come up with about $60,000 clear. So that's what he did. He sold his house. He sold his car. He raised another $10,000 by doing that. And then he tapped into his RSP, and he cashed them all out and raised another $20,000. And then he sold off his television and his computer and his furniture. And by getting rid of everything he had, he raised $100,000. Really, he had nothing left. You know, Austin's friends really wondered about him. He was extraordinarily happy, although there were a few nights he ended up couch surfing for different friends' places. And when he was able to pull all he had together, he purchased the land and the mineral rights. He spent the $100,000, and the golden nugget ended up to be worth $2.5 million. Bargain. This morning, we're going to camp out in the first book of the New Testament called Matthew. And we're going to look at verse 44 to 46 of chapter 13. And it says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Austin Monroe that I told you about is the fictional character. But I want to tell you the story to let you know what Jesus was imagining. If this were this story, you are Austin Monroe, and the kingdom of heaven is the golden nugget. And the question is it worth selling off everything you have to gain much more than you have? And that is a question that all of us have to come to terms with. Jim Elliot was a missionary to the Wadonai people of Ecuador. He eventually was killed there for sharing the gospel. But his death opened up a way for many people to come to know the Lord. And he settled the question for himself long before he went to be a missionary. Jim said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Here's what you need to know. The kingdom of heaven is a bargain, but it's not free. It's true that you cannot earn it. Jesus paid all that's needed to be paid for your salvation. He paid for your sin, for your guilt. He paid for a road to be built between you and God. He made the way for you to know God. He did it because he loved you. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not from yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. What that means is that you can't earn your salvation. You can't somehow pay for it. But you are required to give something for it. You're required to give yourself. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." It is sometimes referred to as the divine exchange. You give your life to Jesus, and he gives his life to you. You give your sin and your guilt to Jesus, and he gives his holiness and righteousness to you. You give Jesus your heart, and he gives you God himself. It is a bargain, but it's not free. When you come to Jesus and say, "Lord," and the reason why we call him Lord is that he has authority over us, we say, "Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, I give you my life." That is what it means to become a real Christian, a Christ follower. You give Jesus your life. And if you're going to come to Christ, you have to give Jesus your life. Isaac Watt understood this divine exchange when he penned the words, "When I survey the wondrous cross." Let's listen to that song now sung by Selah. Thank you. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain, I count but loss. But what I'm concerned about is that if we were to tell the Austin Monroe story in the language of the modern North American Christian, it might go something like this. Austin wandered out into the forest. He came across a golden nugget. So he went to the bank and cashed in $100,000 of his RSP, and he bought the forest. And it makes a perfect addition to his other land holdings, his house, his cottage, his boat, his business. It's not like it didn't cost him anything, but the point of Jesus' story was that the kingdom of God costs the man everything. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor-theologian who refused to be co-opted by the Nazis. He was eventually killed by them. He was quite concerned about a faith that wasn't about giving our whole lives to Christ. He called this kind of faith a cheap grace. He said, cheap grace is a grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. And I believe that one of the greatest dangers to the Christian life in our culture is when it becomes an add-on to the rest of our lives. Instead of Jesus becoming the center of our life, we use him to enhance the rest of our lives. We use him to become happier or healthier or better. But our call is not to add him to the rest of our life. It is to make him the center of our life. It would seem to me that a good question to ask ourselves at the beginning of a new year is about where is Jesus in our life? It's a question about lordship. Is Jesus really Lord of your life? I know that that's kind of a really cliche way of asking it, so let me put it another way. Come back to our verse for Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. When you sell everything and buy the field with the treasure in it, what are you left with? Well, you're left with yourself, and you're left with the field, and you're left with the treasure. And everything that happens from that point on in your life is derived from those things. Here's what I mean. You're not going to leave the gold in the ground. You're going to take the gold up and use it to build a life. But that life that you build comes out of the gold. But we know that the gold that Jesus is talking about is the kingdom of God. The treasure is the kingdom of God. The life that you build will come out of the kingdom of God. That is lordship. Is acquiring a house or a car or having a job and friends inconsistent with the kingdom of God? No, of course not. In fact, there are times when these things are blessings that come from God. But it is against the kingdom of God if those things become the main thing in your life. The main thing is what is consistent with the kingdom of God. Do the choices you make in your life come out of the kingdom of God? Does the way you interact with your children and your friends, with your family, come out of the kingdom of God? And are the things that you spend your money and your time on consistent with the kingdom of God? That is what lordship is. So where are you with that? Does Jesus get not only input, but does he get the final say in the decisions you make? That is what lordship is. The reality is, it's a bargain. For you get so much more than you give up. Let me take you back to the story, and we're going to go on to the second story that Jesus told. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and bought it. Now, on the surface, the second story sounds a lot like the first. Instead of a treasure, we have a pearl. Instead of a man who bought the field, there was a man who bought the pearl. But the story is not near as alike as one might think at first glance. In the story, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. The treasure represents the kingdom of God. In the second story, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls. It's not the pearl that represents the kingdom of God, but the merchant. And so the story depicts the kingdom of heaven as a merchant on a search. Have you ever thought about the kingdom of heaven on a search? There's this famous poem that's too long to read in its entirety, but it's called The Hound of Heaven. It was written by a man who was a drug addict who eventually found Christ, and more accurately, was found by Christ. And the story starts out like this. I fled him. Down the nights and down the days, I fled him. Down the arches of the years, I fled him. Down the labyrinth of ways of my own mind, and in the midst of tears, I hid from him under running laughter. Of vested hopes I sped and shot, participated adown titanic glooms of chasm fears. From those strong feet that followed after, but with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic insistency, they beat, and a voice beat, more insistent than the feet, all things betray thee who betrayeth me. And the poem goes on to tell all the things that the man chased while the hound of heaven chased him. And nothing that was chased was worthy of the chase, but the one who chased him deemed him worthy. There is a hound of heaven. We call him Jesus. He pursues us with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace because you are valued. There is a merchant that searches after the finest of pearls. In the story, the guy who bought the field stumbled on the treasure. But in the second story, the merchant is very intentional about looking for treasure. He's on a search for fine pearls. And when he found one, he sold everything he had and acquired the pearl. It's interesting to me that he acquires a single pearl. I think that the reason why Jesus tells a story like that is to let each one of you know that you are unique and valuable. There is a sense in which Jesus died for the whole world. He gave up the splendor of heaven and he came to earth and he gave up his life and he took death upon himself for the world. But there's also the sense that where Jesus died for you, he gave up what he had and he died for you. He was the merchant that sold everything to acquire the pearl of great price. He gave everything by dying on the cross, by laying down his life. And you are that pearl of great price. Jesus is the hound of heaven. He looks for you. He longs for you. He tracks you. Why? Because he knows you are valuable and he's willing to give up his life to acquire yours. He sees extreme value in you. So if you put these two stories together, we get a guy who stumbles on a treasure, and in order to acquire the treasure, he sold all that he had. And then we see another guy who finds a treasure because he was intentionally looking for it. That's the two sides of salvation. On the one hand, you have God who sees you as extremely valuable, who's willing to die for you. On the other side, you have a treasure which to acquire you must sell all that you have to obtain. So you have God giving the life of his son for you, and you have you giving your life for him. That's what the Christian faith is all about. I point this out because I often think that our view of salvation gets a little too small. In a grand transaction like this, our faith should be defined by who we are, but often we define and confine our faith to small parts of our lives. In the grand transaction like this, where God gives the life of his son for us and we give all of who we are to him, there is no part of our lives which remain unaffected. But often, so many parts of our lives remain unaffected. This morning, I'm asking you to look at your life and see, is it consistent with your salvation? Does what you do flow from the kingdom of God, or have you just tried to tack on the kingdom of God as another room on the side of your house? There are some of you listening to me who may never have given your life to Jesus. And this morning, even as I've been talking, there's something in you that says, yes, that's something that I need to do. And if you sense that small voice, that's God prompting you. God has been searching for you. He knows how valuable you are. He's been pursuing you. He wants you to be part of his family. He wants you to know full and abundant life. He wants you to come back and to know him well. So I would encourage you, if that's you, that you would pray along me, along with me. If it's something you would like to pray, pray something like this. You know, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. You gave your life for me. And I'm asking that you would forgive me of my sin and come into my life. I give my life to you. I understand that you've been searching for me, and I'm thankful that you found me. And I'm thankful that I'm finding you. I want you to know that if you pray a prayer like that, God is always faithful, and he does what he said he would do. He comes into your life. Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them gave you the right to become children of God. God invites you into his family. He wants to you to know life and know it to the full. And what God does is he puts his Holy Spirit inside you. And when his Holy Spirit's inside you, he produces the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the things that God does because you have reached out to him and he has reached out to you. You know, God is a God who is searching. He's on a search for you, and he calls you to reach back out to him and say, yeah, I'm here. I give my life to you. I give you all that I have and all that I am, and I know that I found the treasure of great price. Well, if Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your faith journey, I would love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more in this work, so I would encourage you to go to the website and contact us by email or via Twitter. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, we pray that for our listeners here, I pray especially for those, Lord, who just have felt that tug in their heart and that they want to know you. Lord, you've been searching after them, and I pray that they would find you. And Lord, as they open up their lives to you, I pray that you would get them to a place where they would grow in you. Thank you, Lord, for them. I ask your blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening this morning. We're keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. And if you can help keep the program on the air, we'd appreciate you sending a check to Good News Christian Ministries. You can send that to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Let me pray this blessing over you. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May his Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. May our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. I'm going to see you this morning out by listening to Starfield singing, I Have Decided.
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 5.